Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I am interested where the Louisville fan is going to sit on this.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I'm in my element right now.
No, you're not in your element.
Well, no, not really.
And James Strebel.
I don't know if it's 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, whatever it is.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I don't understand what the big deal about that is.
Well, he's
what am I missing?
He was the recruiting director, and he.
I know, and he left. He took another job. That's what happens in football. Go look the press guys. They take new jobs every 15 minutes.
It was just the timing of it. It's the fact that this is. I get it.
That's when the job opened. What are you going to do? I mean, I don't. Why do people? I mean, I know Sweeney's having a nervous breakdown over it. I don't understand what the big deal is.
With you, another hour to go on ESPN 680, 105.7 ESPN, Louisville.com. We're hanging out here. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel, Mitchell Hannigan with you. Another hour to go. Bonus hour coming your way next. As always, the 5 o'clock hour presented by Cox's Spirit Shop and Evergreen Liquors. I went with the just the classic old Forrester this weekend.
Did Strebel. You?
Yeah.
I know you're on a bourbon search.
I just went with the classic.
That's what I do.
I just went with just a classic.
Yeah.
I mean,
old Forrester, that's the hits. That's playing the hits.
Just went simple.
Yeah, playing Stairway to Heaven and all that stuff. I'm with you. That's what I do 90% of the time.
So there we go. 437-9680. So Mitch is hanging back at the station, and we got you here for another hour on ESPN Louisville. Things we still want to get to today. We still have another hour here. If anyone wants to get anything else off their chest as it pertains to Coach Coop leaving, because I think today the story disappears.
It does. After today, I don't think we'll talk about it anymore.
I think we may ask Bozich on Thursday.
Sure, yeah.
And Bozich then I don't know about Pat Forty on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we are.
It's one of those things where it hit a high note, like a peak.
I just wish it would not have happened Friday when we were off the air.
I know.
An official story. So that is where we are today. Mitch, you said we have Blankenbaker sound, right?
We do.
Okay, so... Well, I mean, is that going to – did you listen to that during the break? Because I'm going into this blind here.
Yeah, I want to go into this blind as well.
Okay. Well, just quickly on the Coach Coop stuff. I equated it – we'll play the blank sound here in a second. I just equated it to, if you don't know, Coach Coop was, you know, was one of the main recruiting guys for the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Or the last couple months.
Integral part of that staff.
Yes, okay. Yes. And so my point was, it was a lot like the election or in politics. When someone lies, you call them a liar. Mm-hmm. You call out their lie.
Right.
Because that's what it is. When someone does a good job, I think it's the other way. You say they did a good job. That's how I feel about this.
Right.
Coach Coop leaving U of L was a bad thing.
Absolutely.
Okay? The timing was bad. He seems to be a rising star in developing relationships, and obviously enough that Florida wanted him, Louisville wanted him, and then he goes and gets a deal at Georgia. So his track record right now is, okay, programs, big programs, hell, some of the biggest in the SEC, and Louisville's a pretty big program. You know, you throw in the ACC, you throw all that in, they all wanted the guy.
He's a wanted dude,
So to call it nothing, in my opinion, would be disingenuous, insincere, however you want to put it, that is my belief. Now, I think there are people on the other end. I don't believe in all of the piling on here of Scott Satterfield. I back Satterfield a little bit when it came to Luke McCaffrey.
Sure.
Luke McCaffrey goes to Rice to play for a nothing program and a nothing coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Losing coach.
And so that's why this show didn't bash Satterfield over Luke McCaffrey. Now, if you also want to say, hey, I'm a Louisville fan, I'm paying a lot of money for tickets, I want to be good, I don't want to talk about being in 7-5, and I'm stuck in this, this kind of over and over again, there's not a lot of great stories. One thing I was going to bring up, and Mitch, you brought it up, is, you know, when the question was asked about finding excitement within a program. I think Coach Coop was that guy for U of L.
Yeah.
On social media, and that doesn't have to be a large, it doesn't have to be a majority of the fan base. But I thought that there was a lot of rallying around that. He would subtweet Kentucky. He would subtweet Vince Mero. I mean, these are things that Louisville fans have been begging for someone to stand up for them. Okay, for someone to get guys on campus that have legit offers, that you're beating out legit teams. They don't even all have to be four stars. But as Kentucky's doing what they're doing, people want it. I understand Louisville fans that saw the South Carolina stuff, that saw the losing season, that have seen talented coaches leave, and we don't know if there's just upgrades all over. I don't know if Bicknell is an upgrade over Dwayne Ledford, who's right now in the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons. And so when you talked about, hey, give me positive things, give me something, okay, that's going to fire everything up, to me, Coach Coop was one of those things.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I'm not calling him anything other than Coach Coop. It sounds silly, but that's where we are.
That's what he is. Coop, he's right, Coach now. Coop to
you,
us.
You understand that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, finding, this is what I've always asked Louisville fans, give me the positives. And I know, listen, I know on Twitter, like, I know Pete Notka's wife was one of them who's like, hey, you know, they're talking about the negativity, the positivity. That was my thing. It's like, this happened. And if you're a family member,
yeah,
and you happen to see any of this, you're like, what do we get ourselves into here? Because Louisville's weekend, I don't know if it's going to lead to commits or not. Again, I'll pull a Bobby V here. You got to let the cake bake a little bit.
Right.
Sure. But those are the conversations that we can have where you do have negativity. You have a coach leaving. You can't spell official. Now, I don't care about not being able to spell official.
It's funny.
And that's what we've tried to do with the majority of this story.
Right.
Outside maybe of the first 10 minutes is just to find, I mean, you got to try to find a little bit of humor in it, even though you can't if you're a Louisville fan, or you can do what some are doing, and I think it's a minority of fans are doing, and that's you can just dismiss it, that it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, it's just when I saw that on Friday, I swear to you, when I saw it on Friday, I didn't know what the link was, because I'm like, is David Cooper Coach Coop?
That's exactly what,
because
I thought,
I'm like,
too.
Is that, oh, so that's how I'm going to learn his name.
Is
right now.
That's how I learned it as well.
That's how I learned his first name, and I was like, this makes me incredibly sad. And then I made sure all the followers on the 24/7 site.
Sure.
What? However many thousands upon thousands that there were to make sure. And then I went to Twitter.
Yeah,
and then I saw you tweet. You put that out there. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, you just wanted to be so mean. And the old James Strebel would have sat there all night with a glass of bourbon. Not the father.
Not the father.
Who had to go out to a baseball game and Friday night pizza dinner at Barno's or whatever you did. Okay?
Right.
You didn't. That's not. The old Strebel, how long have you and your wife been together? 10 years?
11. Coming 11 in July. 11 in July.
Look at me. I know everything.
You do. 10 That's
years
good. Yeah.
Is 11 years ago, Mitch, 11 years ago, your boy just would have been an assassin all night long.
I would have wrote articles on a sea
of
blue over it.
You're the only one.
Yeah,
and I swear to you, I don't know why the majority, when this was something that was talked on Twitter in a business built on clicks, I don't understand how no one wrote about this. Or I know Matt McGavick did.
Right.
Almost nobody did over the weekend. I don't know if it was behind a paywall. I'm saying that not to be snarky. I don't know if this was something that was talked about in message boards. I don't know. But like stories that were out there, and I don't even care about who got the story and who didn't. Okay.
Right.
Although those that suck up and don't get the story, that also humors me. Okay.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I was surprised. I was surprised how it almost was only a Twitter story. I felt
it feels,
but it should not have been. It should have been more than that.
It feels like to me, I don't know. It feels like to me, there's a little bit of like, if we don't talk about it, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't bring it up, you don't discuss it, it'll just kind of go away, and you won't have to deal with it. There, to me, it felt like that. It felt like there's just been so much. And I brought this question up last week during the show. It was like, Scott Satterfield hasn't had the best offseason. He hasn't had the best offseason. And I know you could say, oh, Strebel's a hater or whatever, but you just look at all the evidence that's been piling up. It hasn't been a good offseason for Scott Satterfield and the Louisville football program. It just seemed like it was another thing, and everybody's like, to hell with it. I'm done talking about it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of always getting negative news coming out of the Louisville football program. Not always, but, like, the news hasn't been good outside of, like, a Popeye Williams commitment. And like,
no.
Like, that's really been it.
Why is it? I don't understand. I feel like the majority of people listening to us are rational when I say they got to get positive. They got to get something going, which, by
right.
the way, is not the job of the fans to be nice on social media or the media. Many will. Now, that's when I don't – whenever someone goes to the media and fans, what I don't understand is the majority of Louisville fans, I think, on Twitter and social media and everything are very positive. And I believe so much of the media was so checked out on this story.
Completely.
There was no media coverage on this story.
At all.
None. Twitter, Sunday morning hangover, and sports radio on Mondays, what you got off this.
There was no articles.
For the most part, there were no think pieces.
No.
There was no piling on. There wasn't a lot of that.
No. And I liked also when, like, the Louisville fans that did go to Twitter, which were a lot, that said how unhappy they were and how it was a blow to the program, all the Louisville Twitter people, the watchdogs.
Right.
Yeah, Disco Wig, UK fan. If that's how you're going to be, you go to Lexington. You can't – don't talk about Satterfield like that. You go cheer for Stoops. I mean, he had a lot of that, too.
Louisville football and their fans – I want to put this – their fans, Louisville football fans right now, my read of the situation, by the way, 437-9680, are so starved for positivity. They're buying some tickets. They're so starved for football that when Coach Koop was hired – it was a bigger deal than it really was.
Right.
It was a huge deal. He was bucking up to Vince Merrill when he was going to create relationships, and this was a rising star.
He came out of Florida, Andy.
Yeah, that Florida and wanted by SEC teams, and it was roundly heralded as this big deal.
Yeah,
okay?
A big get. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't understand why I can't just say it is a big deal. Their inability, for whatever reason, to create some momentum is that to me is what's worrisome in all of this is the fan base is there to be had, but they can't fully take advantage of that.
Right.
And I don't know if that's bad luck. I don't know if it is incompetency. I don't know if we need to give them time. I don't know if we're heading to the hot seat. I'm giving you both directions here.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Well, I don't know what it is. But the reaction has been the funniest, that we now need to downplay this guy, or we didn't know his name. Or I think. That happened Friday night, and I legit was like, do we need to go on the air for an hour?
Yeah, what's going
on
here?
I legit thought, I swear to you, I was like, do I need to, you know, go on, well.
Get the Comrex going? And well, not only that, something that you mentioned a few minutes ago about, you're talking about Florida,
man.
Louisville, and Georgia, and the Louisville fans, the downplay, it's like, yeah, he was so insignificant, and it's such not a big deal that Georgia freaking football wanted him. Like, he was such a nondescript person in the Louisville football program that bleeping Kirby Smart came in and said, nah, you're coming to me, and I'm going to pay you more money. He was such a non-factor. He was said that all these big-time programs.
Almost knocked it off your head?
Yeah, I almost knocked the headset off my head. All these big-time programs that were sniffing around Coach Koop, he sucked so bad and didn't get a damn thing that he went to Georgia. That doesn't make sense.
And got a big raise.
And got a big raise. That doesn't make sense to me. If he's such an insignificant part of your program and such a non-factor, then he got more money at a better program. But, yeah, him leaving, nah, no big deal. Not a big deal. It's okay.
Texas says, did Jody cover it up?
Does he have any emails about
it? I I'm trying to read. Texas says, Strebel, you don't need to use a fake voice. Or you don't have to use the fake Kentucky voice. You already sound like one. I love that.
Yeah, I do it at times.
Texas says, the worst part about official is that it wasn't a typo. The decal next to the stadium on lower right has the word spelled wrong. Okay.
It also went through a dozen people when they get changed. I mean,
you guys care more about that than I do.
I don't know why I do. It's just it embodies everything that we've talked about the past couple months. It's just the laziness.
Laziness
is a good point.
Well, Texas says, how does Twitter fans and media help the program if they're negative on Twitter? Well, here's what I would say. It's not, and I don't want to use me because I don't care, but it's not somebody's job to do your job on Twitter. It's not the fans' job to only do one thing in positivity on Twitter so if a recruiter's family sees it during a tumultuous time. It's not the media's fault, although many fall into this category.
Right.
Like, that's when people say, Sweeney, you talk UK. I'm like, you got every other hour.
Right.
You got it all, man. You got every other station that's Louisville all the time with the Cardinal Bird.
Right.
And I'm half. I'm giving you half of it, or 40% or 50% or whatever you think it is. But that's been the reaction that has stunned me the most. Sorry, I looked down. You'll like this. I follow this New York Giants account, and they're it's gas baggery.
Sure.
And they're putting out there the worst Giant losses. And there's plenty of them. And so I'm just, this one's 2001. Oh, yeah.
You're deep diving into Giants losses.
And they're all sad. They're all so sad. So yeah. That's a long way to set up. I would just say it's not – some media want to do that. That's fun. They can do – many make a lot of money doing that. I'm just saying if somebody doesn't, and I'm taking myself out of the equation – It's not their job to be positive in case Popeye Williams' family sees a negative tweet in public.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
and it's not the fans' job either. Although, again, the majority of fans are going to put on for you, and the majority of media here are going to put on for you.
Right.
You're dealing, if you're U of L, to me, you're dealing with just a minority of people here who aren't even putting on for you. I ain't putting on for Louisville, but it would be nice if they were more relevant.
Right.
I mean, it would be much better if they were a 3 seed in the tournament and we'd be talking about them and not having to say, well, you know, you might lose to Clemson by 4 touchdowns. I mean, right now, if I go into this season and I think I got a 5-6-ish, maybe even 7-win-ish Louisville football team and a Kentucky team that's 7-5, where's the fun in that?
Yeah, it's just...
Where's 7-5 fun?
Not only that, I mean, the idea that fans have some culpability here to make Louisville's football program look better than it is in reality, isn't that Scott Satterfield's job?
Well, listen...
Isn't it the job of the staff to do that?
Kentucky, I want to be fair here.
Yeah.
Kentucky was sensitive about their fans this year.
Absolutely, yes.
And it's something that I don't know how... Behind the scenes, Kentucky did not like some of the reaction. Like, and I always was like, "Well, dude, don't win 9 games."
Right, exactly.
I don't know what to tell you. Don't be a 9-win season and paying your coach $9 million. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I had the same thing. I mean, when I was going on and
but they were not happy.
They were not. Oh, I know.
The kneeling stuff was the worst.
That was
I would say for them. But again, when you do something, when you kneel for the national anthem. You knew at that point, after months of this, years, if you want to go to Colin Kaepernick, you know what the reaction was going to be.
Right.
It's going to be mean and ugly.
It's going to be mean and ugly. No,
there was going to be 20%, 30%, whatever percentage it was going to say, that was going to try to be understanding or
sure.
back them or whatever it may be or for whatever cause. But you knew what the majority of your fan base was going to do. So, listen, when I come down on families of players and coaches is very simple. It's their loved one and their livelihood.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so the better these coaches do at U of L, the better their husbands or anyone else have a chance.
Right.
To make more money, to get a better job, to go somewhere else if that is where they want to go and do everything else. This story is not going to have any legs for tomorrow.
No. It's not.
Tester says play the bleeping blank sound already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we got into the discussion.
Go,
all right,
no,
let's,
you're right. Yeah. Go,
all right,
go.
Blake and Baker earlier today.
You all had a running backs coach. He was hired January 7th, 2021. He left February 8th. Okay? Jamal Singleton. He was a position coach. He was there. He was making that multiple six-figure salary that we're talking about. That is a quick and easy four-week loss. We had Coach Coop here for 4 months. Okay. Yes. Does it suck that he left the week in that he left in? Absolutely. If you want to make it into something that it isn't, you be my guest over there in fairy tale land. Okay. You can frame it. We lost the president of the United States on the biggest recruiting weekend in the world. Not the president of the United States. Apparently doesn't matter to Nick Roush on Twitter. He might as well have been the head coach. I think coach, you know what? This $80,000 a year, this is the guy who was calling calling the plays.
See, that's the
worst part.
He's the
defensive coordinator, really. That's what everybody knows. He's the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention. It's such BS bullcrap stuff, and it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan, listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Whoa! Blake! What a shot!
My God!
Holy smoke!
Mitch, you got to give me the end of that. Wait, did anyone know that was getting... Mitch, did you listen to that sound?
No, but Pat told me how it ended.
Oh
my gosh! What a
listen to
bolt.
This. You can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Whoa!
Oh my
snap.
God!
I don't know where to go from there.
Mitch, listen. I want a t-shirt of that by Monday morning.
Yes.
I want a t-shirt that says the take. I tell Nick Roush he can go kiss my ass.
Wow.
Play it again.
And it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan, listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
God.
I'm trying to figure out, what are the lies? Who's lying?
Who cares? I'm dizzy right now.
just that whole sound.
Oh, my God. Mitch, you know you're going to have to go back and listen to Blank today, right? I mean, he's going to have some
gems.
He's
going to have some.
The text line has already texted in a little bit. He said he wasn't even a coach. Oh, my God.
I want to be careful here, but Mark's hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a wounded animal right now, and he's lashing out.
Mitch, I think every minute I need that sound the rest of the,
we
the rest
have
of
to
the
hear
show.
It. I
please.
Mean, he told Nick Roush to kiss his butt. Another grown man.
Is that peak sports radio?
Yes.
I think Blake is. I think he just toppled the final. Who is the guy in Mario's? Bowser.
Bowser.
Wasn't it?
Bowser. Yeah.
The final boss in a video
he
game.
He did it, man. He did it.
Holy hell.
I was not excited. I knew, like, when he was saying what he was saying,
I can't believe that.
I was just like, okay, yeah, that's normal, Blank.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, pow! And he just bam! Nick Roush kissed my ass! Ah, it's great!
He's wearing his Ravens polo today.
Play it again.
It's such BS bullcrap stuff, and it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan, listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Man. I might have to.
I would pay money to see Ennis's face when he did that.
I might have to text Nick. I had to text Roush. I got his number.
I mean, what kind of a brag was that? What kind of a crappy brag
it's not,
was
no, it's
that?
Not a brag. It's like,
I have Nick Roush's number from KSR. No, it's right here, Sweeney. Look,
no,
look,
no,
it's right here.
I'm not trying to brag. It's like, I could be the Kentucky fan to text.
Texter says, Blaze Kiss My Ass had a little twang to it. Mitch, I agree with that.
Did it did.
It had, his voice sounded different.
It's
oh, my
angry
God.
Angry Blankenbaker.
Oh, my God. Play it again.
It's such BS bullcrap stuff, and it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan, listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Right there, right?
My ass.
Look,
you sound
at that.
Like he's from Dixie Highway. Yeah, that's awesome. I like that. My ass, yeah. This is
good. I'm going to read that one.
I'm sure there are
so many haymakers.
Yeah, I bet the text line, by the way, I'm looking at the text line real time. It just keeps loading.
Texter, I bet Blank's next sentence was, quote, no, I'm not bothered at all. I actually love it. Texter says, Blank has a private driver for one night to Churchill Downs and now thinks he can say anything. Texter says, can you play the kiss my ass with Pats? I'm pissed.
Yes, yes.
All of this over a recruiting coordinator, by the way.
But it's not a big deal, remember.
It's not a big deal.
Remember, it's not a big deal.
It's such not a big deal.
Blank and Baker on an FM sports radio station told another media member to kiss his ass, but it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's all you, Sweeney.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
It's all Kentucky fans.
Coach Coop didn't do anything.
No.
You can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
I'm pissed. I'm going to kill Nick.
Kill Nick? Nick Roush?
Texas says, does Blank realize Roush is 6'5", 240? Oh, please. He's not 6'5", 240.
Yeah, he is. He's taller than me. But I'm not saying that. No, that's silly. Yeah.
Anyway, I've been in a media room with him. He's that tall?
Yeah, he's taller than I am.
Is he really?
He is, absolutely. Yep.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's 6'5", yep. I just scanned that back-to-back.
Texas says, did Nick Roush find Blank's kitchen?
I think he's in it right now, making waffles.
Texas says, ass, like a woman crushing a heater at her trailer porch with a baby on her hip. I mean, this is the end of the show. Texas has amazing sound. It is.
What's a one seed, right?
I love when people always say, you guys need to box it out.
Box it out?
For charity. Like, I'm not boxing for charity. Those two guys.
No.
Texas says, how did today's show become so great? It is what it is.
It organically happened. It just happened. Thank you, Coach Coop, by the way. Shout out to Coach Coop.
Texas says, True Cards fans knew last Tuesday. And Coop recruits Sat closes the deal.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, the magic formula.
That guy's got to be kidding.
No, he has to.
Let's play the Maven sound.
Well, let's go then.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You want to know what David Cooper has been saying to all of the top 100 defensive recruits for the last 5 months to this day? David Cooper has been saying, dude, I know you got your heart set on, you know, wherever, Alabama, Georgia, whatever. But if you don't and you want to play, I got a program where you should think about going, young fella. What up, Coop? Louisville. I just got here, bro. They got all the facilities you need. It is a sweet setup. When I show you these dorms, when I show you the camp, this Coach Brown, he's a dog. He'll get you right. Coach Satterfield, listen, this dude is all about his football. Hey, listen, they got the hookup here. This is nice. 5 months straight for the next two entire classes, David Cooper has been introducing the nation's top talent to the University of Louisville. That is literally his job description. 5 straight months. He's not the closer. He is the guy that gets you on campus to get to the closers.
Even if that's true, what he's saying, still not a big deal.
You don't need, just let it marinate.
I'm sorry.
Just let it breathe for a second.
Okay.
Just let it breathe.
I know,
you don't need to battle. Everyone knows you don't agree with that.
No, it's not battling. It's just contradictory.
Texas says, I played basketball against Roush. He's 6'5", but he's soft as baby bleep. Oh, there it
is.
Wow, a chortle.
Oh, man.
I know Blank's mad at us. Mitch, would you at least tell him we gave him a standing ovation?
Yeah.
I mean, because he produced, I mean, just unbelievable sound.
It's great.
Play it again.
You can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Wow. I mean, the finishing touch. It's the finishing touch on the Mona Lisa. the last
it's the you're right. It's the who painted the Mona Lisa?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Da Vinci.
Yes,
Da Vinci. Mitch, have you ever heard Da Vinci?
Yes.
Da Vinci had his spool of paint. What is it? What do you call it? It's a spool of yarn.
Yeah, yeah. What is that thing called where they hold the paint? Gosh.
Oh, I can't remember.
I can't think of what it is.
But you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
The last,
and it, you know, her face was kind of goldish, like a whitish, grayish,
yeah,
all that mixed together. And you're right, you're right. He just, the last dip hit the paint, and then the last little bink,
yep,
that was it.
And then that's the kiss.
The last bink, you know what that is? Play it again, Mitch. This is the pimple on sports radio's ass right here.
It's such BS bullcrap stuff, and it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Wait, I heard the
Ennis in the background.
The Ennis laugh at the background.
He did.
Oh, my God.
Man, it's great. It is great.
If you could tell any media member to say that, who would it be?
To say that,
yeah,
to?
Yeah, like he's mad at Nick Roush.
I want you to
think about it, Mitch.
Okay.
Well, Mitch's would be John Heyman.
It would be John
some
Heyman.
Some baseball writer
yeah,
that nobody cares about. He would go to the 200th ranked Bob baseball
Nightingale.
Writer. Bob Nightingale.
Bob Nightingale.
Yeah, that guy can really? Kick rocks.
Really?
Wow. That's
now, that's
random.
A hot take.
Yeah.
He is a respected baseball journalist.
Why do you not like him?
We'll get to
same
it.
Same thing
okay,
with him.
All right,
that's
all right,
a tease.
All right, okay, a tease. We'll do a tease.
Oh, my.
All right.
I'm dizzy right now.
Yeah.
I am. Oh, my God.
It's fantastic.
Palette.
Palette. Yes.
Is that the name of it?
Yes, the palette.
Palette.
Yes, on the palette. Yes, there you go. So, the palette cleanser.
The
yes.
palette of paint. Yes, the last palinate.
There you go.
The last palette of pain, excuse palinate. My mind's out of it. Let's take a break. We'll end today's
somehow.
Show.
I don't know how.
We still got to get to the sinkhole talk.
Oh, in China?
We never got to that. And Mitch's favorite video over the weekend. You know we got to bring that up as well. 437-9680, another segment to go. We take you until 6 o'clock on ESPN 680.
It's such BS bullcrap stuff, and it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
Oh, my goodness. BJ Heating and Cooling, we need to cool today's showdown. Holy cow, it's wild. They've been around since 1984, and they are here to help you with indoor temperature control. Cool your house down if you need it right now, 24/7, 365. They're on call, so if you have one of those emergencies, all the free estimates, the upfront pricing, whether it be for your home or your business, you know they got you set up. BJHeatCool.com, 812-283-7221 to find out everything they can offer. And right now, the Bryant Mini Splits are hot. And I mean that because they'll cool down that difficult room that's difficult to cool down, quite frankly. They're quiet and efficient, and they'll avoid the installation of bulky ductwork. It's BJ Heating and Cooling, 812-283-7221, BJHeatCool.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says, oh, Coach O, will you be my daddy?
And James Strebel.
I have a father, but I'd like to be his friend.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're still reeling here. I almost called the show the Midday Rush. I swear to you, Mitch, I just did. Oh, goodness, it's The Take on this Monday. It's ESPN 680, 105.7. We are still dizzy over the Blankenbaker sound. We will play that again. We need to play it every few minutes. There's no doubt about that. By the way, Cerebo, I've got a little IG for you here. Hang on.
That's a perfect way
you like that?
To continue on the this 5 o'clock
it's
hour.
It's Jessica. She says, I appreciate you guys. This is a little normal selfie.
Oh, it's just a normal. Well, when she does selfies, they're not really normal.
Look at that.
There's a little, I mean, there's added oomph to her selfies. A little added oomph. I mean, you're welcome, Jessica. For whatever you're thanking me
what
for.
What do you mean you're welcome?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank. Didn't you say you wanted to thank?
She should be thanking me. I'm the one that goes to her account. You don't go to her account anymore. When's the last time you had a good IG lurk?
Gosh, it's been a while. I really haven't lurked
really?
Too much. Yeah, I haven't lurked too much on IG here recently. I don't know. No good reason. I just haven't. Maybe I'll do that later. I don't know. A lot going on tonight. It's a busy night.
Texas says, Texas says, I have accidentally sent my girlfriend multiple texts meant for the text line today.
Oh, that might not be good. Considering some of the texts we get, I mean, yeah, it might not be a good thing.
Texas says, Blank's having a bad day. A texter gave him 300-1 odds that Louisville will not get 5 wins. Why? If he believes it, he should take the bet.
Yeah,
300-1. Yeah,
sure.
Put $10 on it.
That's
what
not a
hell?
Bad day for Mark. That's a good day for Mark.
That could be a great day.
Yeah.
Oh God, I've already been thinking, Mitch. You'll love this. We are going to have to at some point to do the official prediction show.
Yeah,
I don't know what my prediction is. It might be 5-7, 7-5. 7-5 Kentucky, 5-7 Louisville. That just might be it. And like that's how I feel right now.
It sounds kind of right. You know,
and just
you
leave
it
there
way,
all offseason.
Yeah, yeah. This is
but
that's
the,
it.
The
yeah.
optimism will get me though, because it's coming.
Rummage
made a good point. I mean this.
Yeah.
Rummage was like, people expect them to be not bad now, like to be pretty good. And I feel like that. I feel like that's man. The ACC sucks.
It does. But I really don't know what Louisville
fans.
They
played Duke and Syracuse. Yeah. And then you have two or three bums. I mean, they got 5 wins without lifting. I was gonna say a leg. Yeah. Who lifts a leg except for a dog?
A dog.
Like you know what I'm saying? They have There's no one there.
Well, I mean, but Andy, they had a similar schedule last year too, and they peed the bed.
Understandable.
I mean, just
understandable.
Peed the bed.
I'm with you.
Their schedule was. I think their schedule last year is easier than this year's schedule. I sound like Notre Dame.
Yeah, you might be right.
I really think that.
Mitch, what kind of other sound do we have today that you really liked? And no, I don't have anything pulled up. That's why I'm going to you. And if there was something that you liked before we pivot to your favorite video of the week.
There's just so much we can play. I'm just going to start.
What about some? We have some Diener on here.
Yeah, just give me anyone. We have sound from anyone today.
Give me a Diener, give me an Issel, and give me a Pratt.
Okay.
Oh,
I mean, right now, Satterfield is a junk bond. I'm buying. I think he's going to have a good year. I think they're going to be, you know, like a 7-5-ish kind of year. So I'm buying the junk bonds.
On record, you think 7-5 is a successful season?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think fans will. I mean, that's the Vegas over-under.
Right.
I mean, I think fans will be happy with the 7-5, depending on how the 7-5 looks.
Going to be some buyer's remorse, I feel.
And now I'm gagging for the names. This guy got spit out about 10 seconds into the ordeal or less.
Was that the whale? That was Mike Pratt talking about the
it
guy
was.
That got ate by
it
a whale.
Was.
Again,
it's
I...
the whale.
One more Diener.
Look, I think all these things are explainable. It just... Please win. I mean, win 7 games, and then then everything can be explained away.
Well, I agree. Now, I don't agree with the number there,
yeah.
But I agree with that take.
It's just please win.
Yeah, yes, I agree with them on that.
I mean, please. That's. I mean,
if they don't win, it's going to be miserable. Mitch, it's going to be miserable.
I feel like that's where some Louisville fans are right now. Just please win here. Because
That Friday game, if they lose to Ole Miss, they play a bum. If they come back, Central Florida, everyone's going to be absolutely drunk. Okay,
oh, yeah.
That game, if they lose that game, that's going to be an ugh.
Man, I don't want to get back into Coach Coop talk, but this is just the one thing I wrote down for today is, and Diener talked about it this morning, is how would we be reacting to all of these things that have happened this offseason if the South Carolina thing didn't happen? Like how much does that amplify everything?
Yeah, but that's a huge part of the story though.
Yeah,
I know.
That's like the narrative. Well, if Louisville doesn't turn the football over, they'll win games. Yeah, but that's one of the main things in football.
Exactly.
Yes, if you don't turn the ball over, you have a much better chance to win. That's how I feel about. It's like if I take out. I mean, it's like saying, well, you know, Mark Stoops. Let's rule out that he can't find a quarterback. Then what do you think of Mark Stoops? Well,
yeah.
Then I think he'd be a pretty good coach, but he can't find a quarterback.
That's a pretty damn big deal.
That seems to be a bit of a problem in today's football.
Like, we'd still be talking about this because it's just summer radio, but I don't think we'd be, like, talking, like, this much about it. You know what, you know what I'm saying?
Depth, yeah.
I tell you what it would do. It would take some of the heat. off.
It would, absolutely.
It would still be talked about.
Oh, there's no doubt. Satterfield has amplified the pressure for his next season. It's all on him. He created all that pressure.
Yeah, but see, and while I agree
nothing
with
the fan
you,
base did, you know, it's...
Yeah. While I agree with you, I don't think judging on year three also is out of just completely out of question. I know that's going to be something I think we talk about.
If it happens.
If they're good this year, it will disappear.
Right.
If they're bad or generic or whatever term you want to use, then I think that will become a discussion that we talk about. By the way, speaking of Rummage, he tweeted out today.
Yeah.
57 minutes ago. Flying is by far the most beautiful thing I have ever done. Wow, appreciate all the advice to the text line.
What?
Has Rummage never flown before?
Is this his first time?
I think this
today?
Was his first time. Either it's his first time or he hasn't done it like forever. He hates flying.
I'm
totally with him. Yeah, I hate flying as well.
I don't like flying, but if I had a choice between driving and flying, I'd fly every time. I like to fly. I do.
It depends what kind of a flight we're talking about.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So he's going to Vegas, and that's about 4 hours, give or take.
Yeah, right. That's not too
bad. It's about 4 hours.
The longest flight I ever had was to Hawaii.
Oh, I've heard that's a bear. It's 12 hours, something like that?
No, I think it was like...
Was it 8 hours?
It was like 8 hours. Yeah, from Seattle. We flew from Chicago to Seattle, Seattle to Hawaii.
I had a buddy who just wanted to roast heaters.
Oh.
Who's a smoker and just couldn't roast heaters. Yo, I know you can't.
Yeah.
Yes, I know
you
can't.
It helped that we got bumped up to first class. That was the only first and only time I've ever been in first class was on from Seattle to Hawaii. It was great. Fantastic.
Texas says, how miserable is it going to be if Kentucky sucks this year?
It'll be miserable.
Well,
yeah,
for Strebel, it's going to be absolutely miserable.
The thing is, like, again, people act like I go on these airways and just say, Kentucky's great, nothing's wrong, and they're going to be perfect, and they're going to win 12 games and win the SEC championship. I'm not that guy. Don't come at me with those types of things. It ain't going to work. I'm like, Cal, I got the bazooka hole.
People have no idea.
No, they don't.
Texas says, the lock leave out. What if South Carolina didn't happen? Yeah, to me, that's I understand the conversation.
Well, I mean, it could have happened, and we just would have never known, like if it was never made public.
But he bumbled it so bad.
Well, no. The point was it for to be public.
Yeah, it was the point.
The point was, Mitch, for it to be public, so Scott Satterfield could be wanted. Scott Satterfield could leverage with Vince Tyree and U of L.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It's a bad play.
That's my opinion. I mean, Satterfield went from being roundly regarded as a home run hire to having a bad year, and so this was the game that was to be played on a job with South Carolina that he was probably not going to get. The South Carolina thing, that doesn't bother me as much as it does fans.
Yeah, fans,
The misspelling of official is silly. It's funny.
Yeah.
Kentucky fans, I understand why they're assassins about it, but it to me, I don't get hung up on that.
Well,
I'm more hung up on Coach Coop than I am the misspelling of the word official, or even the South Carolina thing. The South Carolina thing is a Louisville fan thing. I understand it. I sympathize.
Yeah.
I just don't care as much as they do.
And you got to think of the timeline of the events that have happened. I mean, you go from a gift of a schedule in an ACC-only season with, you know, Western Kentucky obviously thrown in there. You get a gift of a schedule, bombastic Louisville fans, fail. You're offered a bowl game. Go play in one more game. We don't want to do it. Players don't want to do it.
Were they? I think they opted out.
I don't think they were. And I also think that was a Tyree decision.
I mean, Kentucky was four wins, two, and went to a bowl game and won.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with Mitch, it doesn't matter.
I'll have to look it up. Okay. I mean, he talked about it. I honestly think they weren't offered one. I think Vince Tyree said that. I'll have to double check, though.
And you may be right, but I thought it was the other way around. I thought there was a bowl game to be had, and they said, nah, we're good. That's the way I remember it, but I could be wrong. You go with that, then you go to South Carolina. You go with the talking to the press. Bad time there. Then you go lose Ponce, lose Ledford. Then you go to lose Luke McCaffrey. Then you go to lose Coach Coop.
Have a momentum.
You don't have any. Exactly. Yeah, that's my point.
They haven't been able to harness momentum.
There is a trend here, and it's not a good trend. Again, it can be salvaged if they win games. But, boy, if they lose games, people are going to look back at every single one of those things, and they're going to talk about every single one of those things and amplify every single one of them. So this idea that it's building a narrative and building a story is real.
Let me flip this on you. I think
what can help Satterfield this time around with Coach Coop leaving is it's a small class. All he's got to do is keep the quarterback. Is it Kalib Johnson? I don't know. Whatever. Keep the quarterback.
Keep Popeye Williams.
And get maybe another guy of consequence.
Yeah.
Maybe get someone from any sort of a Power 5 team in the transfer portal. You're done.
Sure.
You're done. Then you can get your other guys that can fill out your, another 5, 6, 7 players, whatever it may be. Get a couple guys that are tangible that Louisville fans can hold on to. I was trying to avoid saying that because that's really corny.
But what if the flip happens and Coach Coop says, like, hey, Kirby, I got this dude, Popeye Williams, just got his 4-star. He's a man. I mean, I would be
worried about Georgia calling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, Kentucky fans are worried about Michigan calling for Coach Klink.
We talked about that last week. I'm in full, like, with U of L. I mean, they need to get going.
Yeah.
There's not the positivity around them that only they can create. I think fans and media have done a good job not crushing Louisville football.
They haven't.
They've reacted to the South Carolina thing. Some have reacted to the Coach Coop thing. But more than not, fans are ready. My read is go to games. They want to talk about recruits. They want to talk about they want to be better than Kentucky at some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right, 437-9680. All right, Mitch, what did you make of the Suns in 4 guy? Explain to the audience maybe who this is, and we need to have a conversation about it.
Okay, yeah, so not everyone has social media, but there's a video that got released to Twitter that was during Game 3 of the Nuggets and Suns. And it was my favorite video on the internet this weekend, and I'm obsessed with it. And I saw that Devin Booker said we need to, who is this? He just put on Twitter or whatever, like, who is this guy?
This guy's information.
I hope they invite him to, like, sit on the bench for the Western Conference Finals. Like, I'm in love with this guy, with what he did. Anyways, the video begins. There's some altercation between this guy and 2 Nuggets fans.
Bro dude Nuggets fans.
Yeah, and one of them has a horrendous haircut, but that has nothing to do with the video. One of the Nuggets guys tries to be slick and, like, acts like he's putting something in his pocket and then tries to throw a sucker punch and just misses badly.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Suns guy hockey grabs him, like, grabs the back of his jersey and pulls him down and just starts wailing on him.
Yeah, the guy that had low ground won here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, yeah, that's a bad look for the Nuggets guy. And as this guy's wailing on him, and just put all this on the mixtape, as this guy's just punching him repeatedly, he stares and looks at his buddy and goes, I'm beating your boy up. What are you going to do about it? And the guy does nothing.
Of course he does nothing. And he's scared.
He just punches him again. Go help your buddy out. Come on. Like, he's just like, that's just the most savage thing I've ever seen. He's like, I'm beating up your buddy. What are you going to do about it? And he just did nothing. And so he gets them beating them up or whatever, and the guys go run off.
Away. You're right. And
as they're running off, the guy goes, Suns in 4, Suns in 4, and the Suns 1-4. So this guy is just like
he's a hero. He's an internet hero.
Yeah, he's a Suns legend now. Like, they need to put his jersey up right next to Steve Nash.
I agree. Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Sean Marion.
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
Kevin Johnson.
But, yeah, that's a good. What was his nickname?
I remember.
Was it just KJ?
I think it's KJ. I had his shoes. He had Converse.
Everyone had the KJs.
I had the KJ shoes, and I loved them. Black, purple, and orange.
But yeah, the video's awesome, and every time this week, I just catch myself saying, Suns in 4, Suns in 4.
Everyone rallied behind this guy.
Yeah, because he looked
like a normal white dude.
Like a dad bod.
Yeah, with a dad bod in a DeAndre Ayton jersey or whatever?
No, it was a Steve Nash jersey.
They definitely disagreed on something. I don't think any punches were thrown before that, but the dude tried to sucker punch him and missed.
He got smoked.
He got what he deserved, yeah.
Yeah, and the Nuggets guys had, like, gold chains. And
they looked so douchey.
Total bro dudes.
How close to a sports fight have you guys been to? I'm trying to remember if it was Charlie's first year where Randall Cobb down the sideline at Cardinal Stadium.
I got a good one.
There were Louisville fans fighting each other there.
Yeah.
And I was relatively close for that one.
I was at the Kentucky-Louisville game where I believe it was, Corey Peters maybe, scooped and scored. And
okay.
Kentucky beat Louisville down, like, tremendously bad. It was, like, the hottest day of the summer in Cardinal Stadium. And I'm sitting next to my buddy. We're wearing our UK stuff. There were UK fans behind us. Louisville fans poured a beer on the dude's head.
Oh, boy.
And then, like, nothing bad happened. Like, it almost popped off. And so I was kind of ready. I'm like, am I going to have to, like, defend this stranger I don't know where Kentucky guard? But things cooled down. They actually, you know, were okay after that. But that's the closest I've been. Kentucky just beat Louisville down that game.
Oh, so you didn't actually see the fight. So you've never been like
it also
that
sounds
close
like there wasn't actually a fight. It just sounded like a dude.
No,
poured
no that's
a beer.
What
I'm
saying. No, he had his beer, a beer poured in. I did well.
So have you ever seen a fight or been like
I've been
relatively close
I've been
close
involved
to a
with
fight.
One.
Have you really?
Yeah. So you'll like this. I went over to England to watch my favorite soccer team.
Oh, the beautiful game.
You know what?
Oh, really?
You
there's a fight in a soccer game. You hear this, Ints? You hear this, Ints?
I swear to you, I was just getting ready to say. So you went over to England. I was getting ready to say something about soccer. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It was in the supporter section for my team. It was Everton Liverpool, which is like Kentucky and Louisville on steroids. And it's wild. There's fights everywhere. Literally, the people sitting directly behind me was disagreeing over a player and just started fighting. And I caught some stray punches. A buddy of mine I was with caught some stray punches. It was insane. It was every stereotypical soccer hooligan thing.
I've been told it was only a small percentage of fans. Really, there were fights everywhere. Mitch, now you were there.
There's
saw fights everywhere.
Oh, there's fights. Wow. They're shooting flares on the field. They're running on the field. There's dudes getting tackled left and right.
Why did you do this to him? Why are you giving him this ammo?
I just told that it was just Mexico, USA, and Mexican fans behaved badly.
Well,
speaking of
Jason Entz, your boy Entz was like, you know, the guy that died on the field, what was it, Erickson?
Erickson.
Yeah, Christian Erickson.
Who, like, literally died on the field. They brought him back to
CPR,
life.
CPR, yeah.
Like, I wasn't watching, and Entz is like, he's dying on the field. I'm like, Entz, I'm not watching it. What are you doing to me?
I'm trying to have a nice Saturday.
Hey, you want to see something terrifying and sad and scary and everything else all at once? Turn on your TV. Like, no.
Like, yeah, it's like, you know, the movie. Hey, you want to go see a dead body?
Oh, my God.
Stand by me. It's like, no. Oh, here goes Entz. Shut up, Strievel.
I mean, you set him up.
Yeah, Mitch set me. I didn't do it. It's be mad at Mitch, not me. Mitch is proving the point I've had for a long time.
Oh, no. It's definitely every stereotype you can think of, like when you think of soccer in England.
Yeah.
Like these guys were just disagreeing over the player, and they're like, all right, we're throwing down. And then,
same
like, it just became
too,
a big
right?
thing. Yeah,
they're
same
like fans.
Fans.
The same team.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
never been to a Kentucky fan where I see Kentucky fans throwing punches.
I wouldn't go to a Giants-Eagles game. I wouldn't take my wife, at least.
Oh, I'm sure it's just awful.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go. It's like, Process is, like, G-rated an Eagles fan.
Yeah, he's like a Disney movie. He's like a Disney character. And if, like, you were at a story about Eagles fans, he'd be like a Disney character.
He would.
Yeah.
He would
also,
be up.
I wasn't involved in the fight, but I was in the bathroom of a Cardinals-Cubs series where these two guys were throwing down. So
now I can see Cardinals-Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Being a lot of that.
This was when I was like 10 years old. I cried running out of the bathroom, and my mom had to hide me like in the women's bathroom till the cops came. Once again, I was 10 years old.
Speaking of your long flowing hair, that's too old to be in there. That's too old. That's too old to be in a women's bathroom.
Yeah.
10's too old.
It's what we did.
There's men
throwing punches, yelling curse words. I didn't know what to do. I cried. I ran out of the bathroom. They dragged me in the women's bathroom.
Mommy, at sporting events, I understand when the father is with their daughter.
Right.
Brings them into the bathroom because they can't go into the women's bathroom.
Sure.
But there is an age cutoff there.
Oh, 100%.
And I have seen the age cutoff, I feel like, be really tested.
Tested, like push that envelope?
That's just a guess.
Yeah,
like my guess is 10 years old. I may have been younger. I don't know.
You being
it
10
was forever ago.
That's long. Kellen's 9.
That's over. Kellen cannot go to women's bathroom right now.
Exactly.
Kellen cannot do it.
It was at New Bush, which opened in 2016. So that was 15 years ago. I'm 25 now. So, yeah, I probably would have been around 10 or 11.
I get why your mom did that. I'm just saying that was really – it was a circumstance beyond control. So her doing that wasn't out of bounds.
Right.
Right.
But I have seen at a normal stadium, probably a 10-year-old girl be in the men's room. I'm like, that's weird.
My daughter's 7 years old. I'm not – no.
Texter brings up a good point. Happening. Watching the fights at these sporting events makes me think the NFL is going to be a disaster.
Oh,
I totally think so.
Man. Every
Giants Cowboy fans stabbing each other.
Every AFC West game.
Every Raiders game.
Yeah, I mean, was it like Chargers and Raiders? Like people are going to like beat like literally.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah.
To death.
Oh yeah. It's nasty.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to play the blank sound to end today's show?
Yes. Yes.
Let's play the end. Mitch, I want you to loop it and play it. I'm going to give you a second to loop it so you can play it like five times in a row.
Are we just playing the end or are you going to play the full thing?
Not the full thing.
No just the full
thing
stuff.
It's a fine take, but we've had that. We know what he's going to say there. It's the dismount against Nick Roush that is the key here.
Pay no attention. It's such BS bullcrap stuff, and it's just lies. And if you're a Kentucky fan, listening to this, you can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass. You can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass. You can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass. You can go tell Nick Roush that he can kiss my ass.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.